You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
Today means that we can have reassurance of our salvation because he's not in the grave like others that are still in the grave that call themselves gods. He's not in the grave. He's risen from the grave. We can have courage today because of his resurrection. You know, today, make it not like any other day. When you go home today, put emphasis. Talk to your kids. Be grateful, be thankful. Hopefully you spent time this morning with the Lord before you came to church. If not, go home, spend some time with him because he is alive. And that's what we're celebrating today. And basically what I want to do today is I just want to look at the resurrection and I want to look at the order of events of that morning. That morning, right? Resurrection a morning for Mary Magdalene and a few other ladies. This was a very special morning. It wasn't just any ordinary morning, and we'll look at that, but I would like us all to stand and read together first. If you can see the words on the screen, if you can't, it's going to be Matthew 28, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 6, and that's kind of small for my eyes, so I'm going to turn around like this because I don't have my glasses on. I refuse to wear them. So let's read together if we can. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angels answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I come to you today, Lord, and praise the Lord that you are risen. Lord, we today, we look at the accounts and the order of things that happened, Father, through your word, and we ask that you would give us application and help us to see the order of events that happened this morning. And Father, I pray that you would just bless us. I pray that you would open our eyes to behold wonderful things out of thy law. I pray that your Holy Spirit would do the work that only the Holy Spirit can do, and that we would be more like you because of it. I pray that you would stir our hearts today, that you would revive us, that you would help us to surrender our wills to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Today, as we look at the order of events, for that morning, we're going to be bouncing all over. If you want to try to jot the verses down, you can. If not, afterwards, if you're interested in, I can give you the verses, in correlation that I have them in here. But early that morning, a great while, the Bible would say in John chapter 20, verse 1, a great while before day, the first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. So that earthquake that we read about, that lightning, that happened before they got to the tomb. And here it's interesting because Mary Magdalene is highlighted more than any of the other women here. She went there early. For her, it wasn't just any ordinary day. She went to that tomb. It would say in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 11, that now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing spices which they had prepared, which they had set aside to anoint the Lord's body with it, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. Those others that were with her was the other ladies. We'll read their names here in a minute. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We put him there. He's no longer there. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them, okay, in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? You're looking for somebody that's dead. You're looking in the tomb, but he's not dead. It goes on to say, it says, he is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet at Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. In Jesus' message over and over, is my mic dead?
Is it on now? Sorry. I see Todd back there pointing at something. I don't know what was happening. Slip up. So in Scripture, when you're looking at the gospel over and over and over and over again, did Jesus tell his disciples that it's necessary that he die for the sins of the world? So the Son of Man must be delivered into the hand of sinful men. This was part of God's plan from eternity past. Remember that lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth and be crucified and the third day rise again. And when the angel said that, they had this aha moment. The Holy Spirit opened their eyes, and it says, and they remembered his words. They remembered his words. I believe these ladies here were the first to truly believe and remembering what was said. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them. Mary and the other woman, early that morning, come to the tomb. They see the tomb stone rolled away. They go in. They see the body empty. They hear the angels speaking to them, telling them, he's not here. And go tell the disciples. Go tell the disciples. And so from here, we know at least Mary Magdalene. We would assume that the others run back and tell the disciples what they saw. Now understand, I mean, it was probably a mile, three quarters of a mile from where the tomb would be at, back to, down, in, if it was that garden tomb, into the city to where the disciples at. They're running and they're going, and Mary and the other women run to tell the disciples what they had seen. They go in John chapter 20, verse 2, it says, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved. I love that John always refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He's the writer of John, and he's like, yes, I am the man that Jesus loved. I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. It kicks me how he writes that. He says, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. So basically, they're going back telling him, hey, he's not there. He's not in the tomb. And Luke 24 would tell us what the disciples thought of that message. Luke 24, 11 says, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed not. They believed them not. They had to come and see for themselves. And so here now, Mary Magdalene, the other ladies go tell the disciples. Now they go back to the tomb. Except the disciples come to see for themselves. In John 20, verse 3, it carries on and it says, Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple and came to the sepulcher. That other disciple is John. It goes on to say, it says, so they ran both together and the other disciples did outrun, the other disciple did outrun him, Peter or John talking about himself, and came first to the sepulcher. And he didn't run into the sepulcher. He saw the stone rolled away. He came up to the door and kind of just took a knee and looked in to see if the tomb was indeed empty. He stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, but there was no body in it. Yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following after him and went into the sepulcher, just barged right in and seeth the linen clothes lie and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. We see these grave clothes. Empty grave clothes, face covering, folded up, set off to the side, wrapped together by itself. And they then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. So the disciple that he's referring to is himself, John. He saw, he believed. And so verse 10 would say, then the disciples went away unto their own home. They went back home. They walked into the tomb. They saw that there was nothing there. They pondered, perplexed, wondered what happened. It says one believed, and then they went home, but everybody went home but one person. Everybody went home but one person. Everybody was in a hurry but one person. That one person was Mary Magdalene. She stayed behind. She lingered long at the tomb. And the Bible would record that Mary Magdalene was the first person to see the resurrected Savior. Mary sees Jesus as she lingers long at the tomb. She was looking for, she was longing for, she desired to see Jesus. John chapter 20 says in verse 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down, looking into the sepulcher, and see if two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. She's seeing her Savior and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She's not recognizing him. He's still disguised to her. And she said, whom seekest thou? She's supposing him to be the gardener. Jesus the gardener. She saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence or taken him somewhere, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Her longing, her lingering, her anticipation. Jesus saith unto her, and he calls her by name. He calls her by name. He says, Mary, and she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Her eyes beheld that this was Jesus resurrected. And Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, say unto them, I have ascended unto my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God. The first time she runs to tell them that she saw the empty tomb. The second time she goes back. Tell them, I seen the risen Savior. Praise the Lord for that. And it was all because she wasn't in a rush. She wasn't in a hurry. She was lingering long. She was desiring to see. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that she had spoken these things unto her. But yet they didn't believe. From here, all in this same day. So we see the women going early to the morning to the temple, finding the stone rolled away. They run back, tell the disciples. The disciples come, see, they look, they're perplexed. They're not sure what's going on. Everybody leaves, even all the women. And Mary is left to herself. She desired to be there. She longing for Jesus. She wants to talk to him. She wants to see him. She's probably remembering the words that were spoken to her according to what the scripture says, and now she sees Jesus. She sees Jesus. She goes back to tell the disciples, but we'll see later on again that the disciples still refuse to believe. They just don't believe yet. And the next event that happens during this day is there's a journey. There's a couple disciples that take a trip. When really they were supposed to stay at Jerusalem, they take a trip to Emmaus in Luke chapter number 24. The same day it says, "And behold, two of them went the same day," the resurrection day. They're journeying away from where they're technically supposed to be, and we'll see that eventually they get back to where they need to be. And it says, "The same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned about the crucifixion, about the death, about the turmoil of the tomb being empty, but there's no body there, Jesus himself drew near," the Bible says, "and went with them. But the Bible would say, but their eyes were holding that they could not know him," or they should not know him. They're not seeing, they're not recognizing that resurrected Savior. And they're going, and it's an interesting story. It says, "And he said unto them," Jesus is talking to them, "saying, now, what manner of communication is this that you're talking about?" What's this conversation I hear you talking about? Somebody died and you know, they were put in a tomb, and now the tomb's empty. He's like, "What kind of communications are these that you're talking one to another and are sad?" And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, almost rebuking him, right? Not realizing who he's talking to, said, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things that have happened?" It says, "which are come to pass there in these days." And he said unto them, "What things?" It's almost like Jesus is like, hey, baiting him a little bit. "Yeah, go ahead and tell me. What things are you talking about? You know, tell me what you're referring to." And how they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Did you not hear about any of these things? Did you not know that this was happening? And this is Cleophas talking to Jesus. And then it says, "But we trusted." We trusted here that it had been he which should be have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. You kind of hear that sadness in his voice. Besides all this, we had trusted that it was him. See, the reason Israel missed Jesus is because they were looking for a conquering king, not a suffering servant. It was necessary for Jesus to die. And here it goes on to say, it says, "Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, of which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher," Simon is with him, Peter is with Cleophas, "and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them," Jesus now butting in and talking to them, he says unto them, "O fools." The very first thing, he's like, "Listen, fools. You're missing it. You're missing it. You're missing it." He says, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken." The prophets talked about this. I talked about this. Scripture is full of this. "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe that all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And so you know what Jesus does on the road, and I love this right here. It says, and beginning at Moses, he starts teaching them as they're walking. He starts discipling them and reminding them throughout the scriptures. It says, and beginning at Moses, you know what that is? That's the first five books of the Bible. He opens the first five books of the Bible, and he is the living word. So he had the word, and he began to talk about how, hey, I am that lamb in Leviticus. I am your deliverance from Egypt. I am the Passover lamb. And he began to look back and point out himself in scripture. And it says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all scriptures the things concerning himself. The book that you hold in your hand is not a self-help book for you. The book that you hold in your hand is a book that is written about Jesus. It's not written about us. We are not the center of scripture, but Jesus is. The Psalms would say, behold, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. And so what he does is he begins to expound and open up to them on the very same day as he rose from the grave. The Bible will go on to say, it says, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made it as though he would have gone further. Hey, I can almost see Jesus saying, hey, I got someplace to be. I'm supposed to be in Jerusalem. I'm supposed to meet some guys in an upper room. And he makes it as though he would go further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread. Hey, can you picture it with me, would you? They're here in this village, and they're breaking bread, and Jesus breaks the bread, and I can see him giving them the bread, and I can see them maybe in astonishment looking down at his hands and marveling and wondering. And the Bible says, they took bread, and Jesus, he blessed it and broke it and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. They saw him, the second group of people that saw Jesus, and he vanished out of their sight. He knew them. Peter, Cleophas knew who it was that was before him, and it says, and then next thing you know, he vanished out of their sight. Vanished out of their sight. And the Bible says, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us? As he talked with us, I love this, while he talked with us, by the way, while he opened up the scriptures, basically Jesus was preaching to them, and their heart was burning inside of them. When's the last time your heart burned when you heard the word of God? I hear, their hearts burned inside of them, and they vanished. He vanished out of that, and they're saying, man, our hearts burn with us. And now, look at what they do. Then they arose up. They were planning on staying there, but now they have some people to go tell what just happened. And it says, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. Man, it is true. What Mary said was true. What we saw was true. And now this last occurrence of the day's events that we see in Scripture, the very last thing of this day, this resurrection day, we see Jesus going to that upper room. We see Jesus going into where the disciples are at. They're hiding for fear that they could be the next one crucified. They're hiding for fear that they could be the next one killed. In John chapter 20, verse 19, it says, then that same day. What day is this? It's resurrection day. So all these events happen this day. Jesus is getting around here. He's showing everyone, hey, I am risen indeed. It's not just an empty tomb. Nobody stole my body. Hey, I am alive. And it says, then the same day at evening here, the end of the day, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. He just showed up. He didn't knock at the door. He doesn't need to ring the doorbell. He showed up in the midst of them. And here it says, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side, that side that was pierced by that spear from the centurion soldier. He showed them that the hands that were pierced by the nails. And then were the disciples glad. Then began they to rejoice when they saw the Lord, but the Lord had a little bit of correction to give them. Mark 16:14 says, after he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them, or basically he rebuked them. He said to them, why didn't you listen? Why didn't you, look at what it says. It says, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not which had seen him after he is risen. And you say, well, Pastor, they're just not believing him. Who was the one that told Mary to go back and tell the disciples what she saw? It was Jesus. So technically, it wasn't her words that they weren't believing. It was really his words. And he comes in and he's like, listen, guys, believe me. And he kind of corrects them for their unbelief. And we know the story. We're not necessarily going to go through it all here, but we know what happened. Thomas wasn't there. And 8 days later, the disciples tell Thomas that Jesus is indeed risen from the dead. And Thomas says, I will not believe unless if I see it for myself. And Jesus in his graciousness comes 8 days later, shows up, same place, similar time, and says, Thomas, stick your finger into my side and behold my hands, that you won't be faithless but believing. And Thomas says, oh Lord, I believe. And he says, yeah, now that you've seen. Jesus goes on to say, he says, blessed are those who have believed and yet not seen. They've believed the word of God. And we are those people today that we do not see the physical resurrected Savior, but we have the word of God that shows us, that reveals to us that he is alive. You know, as we look at this story, it's not a story. As we look at this Bible truth, there's application that we can make throughout. And I think the first application I see in the resurrection is believing in Jesus. You know, the most important thing about the resurrection is your faith. It's your faith. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the beginning of the hope of our salvation. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 15, if there be no resurrection, we are of all men most miserable. We have nothing to live for, because when we die, we will be cast into a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The first application I see in the resurrection is believing in Jesus. John 11:25, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection. This is what he said before being crucified, before raising from the dead. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, we are all dead in our sins and in our trespasses. Though we were dead, yet shall we live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And Jesus follows it up with this question. Believest thou this? Mary, do you believe this? Mary, do you believe this? There is a call to believe. The resurrection, there's one of two positions that you will take. You will either take that and believe that and accept that truth for your salvation, or you will reject that. See, the resurrection calls us to action. The resurrection calls us to believe. The question is do you believe? That's the greatest. Jesus rose from the dead to save us from our sins. And then those that reject will suffer the wrath of God. Jesus rose from the grave. Do you believe? Have you received? You know, I know a lot of people that mingle the cross with a little bit of this religion and a little bit of this tradition and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But can I say to you today, salvation is 100% solely in Jesus. There is no native tradition that can save you. None. There is no religious Catholic tradition that can save you. There is no Baptist tradition that can save you. There is no ritual that can save you. Nothing can save you. It is 100% holy Jesus, and that's it. It's faith alone in Christ alone. Not in religion. It is not, well, I believe in Jesus, but I also supplement my salvation with being a good person. That is not salvation. When Jesus said it was finished on the cross, that means he said, I took care of it. Nobody helped raise Jesus from the dead, and you and I cannot help Jesus raise ourselves from the dead. It is something that only he can do. Do you believe that? You have to confront what you believe with Scripture, not with what you think. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to me but by the Father. It's not mingling religion and Jesus together. It's not. That will distort and mess up. There is nothing. It is Jesus. To him be glory in the church, because only he can save. It's not you and a little bit of your good works. It's not Jesus. I believe in, I've heard this so many times. I believe in Jesus, but you know, I try to be a good person. And hopefully, the two will balance out, and I'll be able to get in. Listen, that is absolutely wrong. The thief on the cross died, but he died a righteous man because he put his faith in Jesus. Do we understand that? He wasn't baptized. He wasn't religious. He didn't have any traditions. He had nothing. All he had was his faith in Jesus. And my question to you is today is, where is your faith at? Do you believe wholly in Jesus? Because the resurrection calls us to action here. The very first and most important paramount thing about the resurrection is, do you believe? Have you received? And believing is more than just mental action. Believing is responding. When you believe in something, you act on it. Case in point, believing and receiving. Believing and receiving. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. In order to be able to get a gift, someone has to go buy that gift, pay for that gift. And by nature, a gift is something that you don't pay for. It's the giver that pays for it. And salvation is a gift. It's not something you work for. But in order for someone to receive that gift, they must reach out and grab that gift and make it their own. How do we do that in regards to salvation? The Bible says that we call upon the name of the Lord. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say if you go out and be a religious person. It doesn't say if you go out and follow tradition. It doesn't say any of those things. It says if you believe and receive and call out, right? Call out. You know, that's why baptism is so important, paramount. Not because it saves you. It doesn't. It doesn't save you. But it's an outward confession of an inward belief that you have truly received Jesus as your Savior. Have you believed? Have you received? When was that time in your life? I want you to think distinctively, intentionally. The Bible says it's a new birth. I was born July 25th, 1980. My mom remembered that day. It's distinct. Your salvation and the day that you're born into the family of God is distinct. It's a specific moment in time. And have you ever been born into, have you called upon the name of the Lord for your salvation, where you audibly realize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior and that Jesus loved you, but God commendeth, he showed his love towards you, in that while we were yet sinners, he yet died for you. And you called upon his name, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Peter, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein ye stand. Today, we stand in the courage of the resurrection, the gospel message of Jesus Christ, by which we are saved. It doesn't say you're saved any other way. It says we're saved by the gospel, and it tells us what the gospel is. It says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Do you believe that? Have you received that? The resurrection calls us to make a choice. Today you will walk out of here with one of two mindsets. It's only Jesus or it's not. Scripture says it's only. There is no other name given among men where we must be saved, and it's Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Hey, do you want the victory? Does anybody here want to be a failure? We've been given the victory through Jesus Christ over sin, over the death. So we see that application, that calling on Jesus for our salvation. But the second application I see in the resurrection is a longing to see Jesus. Mary was the first person to see Jesus, and I wonder why that was. Jeremiah 29 says this. Maybe you know this verse. It says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will, he says, be found of you, saith the Lord. You know, it's interesting that of all the disciples, the great disciples, Peter and John and James and all those that Jesus reveals himself to that lingering, to that longing, to that servant that just wants to see Jesus. I want to be like that. I want to be the one that's not just rushing into the tomb, checking off my Bible reading, and then rushing out and going to my day and rushing in and check boxing. Yeah, I've prayed. I went to church and I did this and I'm going about, rushing about. Man, I want to be like Mary. I want to linger long. I want to see Jesus. Are you looking for Jesus? Are you longing for Jesus? Are you lingering in anticipation for Jesus? Psalms 42, 1 through 12 says, as the hart panteth after the water brook, or as the deer panteth after a water brook, so my heart panteth after thee. The psalmist is saying, my heart beats for you, Lord. My heart longs for you. It says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And I could see almost Mary as she sat there by the tomb, desiring, I want to see you, God. I want to see you. When was the last time, man, you wanted to see? Psalms 27, one thing have I desired of thee, Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That longing. You know, the third application I see in the resurrection is the learning about Jesus. Is your heart hardened by unbelief? Is the fire of your heart for the Lord burned out? Do you have any passion in you for the things of God? Or has that flame that once burned bright kind of gotten dull? Kind of gotten dim. Yes, you go through the routines, you check the boxes, but there's no real fire. There's no real passion. There's no real drive. There's obligation. There's duty. But there's no passion. Do you want that fire? Do you want that passion once again? Do you remember when Jesus was speaking to those disciples on the road to Emmaus? What made their heart burn within them? It was the Word of God. The thing that we have hold right in our hands is the fire that will burn bright within us. And it says here, it says, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us? What made their hearts burn? While he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures. You know why so many Christians are cold? You know why so many Christians are lifeless? Because we're not getting close enough to the fire. You know, the more of God's scripture that's in us, the more passion, the more fire, the more fervency. It's not going to be like the dead, cold marriage. It's going to be revitalized by the Word of God. You see, their heart was burning inside of them, much like Jeremiah's heart was burning inside of him. And in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, it says, then I said, I will not make mention nor speak anymore in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire. It shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He's like, God's word was in me, and he's like, I refused because nobody wanted to hear it. He's like, I'm not going to tell anybody because nobody wants to hear it. And he's like, I'm not going to tell anybody, Lord, and I'm just going to hold this message inside my heart. But he said, God's word was inside of me so great that I couldn't do anything but just let it out. It was like a burning fire. Church, let me ask you a question. When is the last time you were brought under conviction and fire? Man, you were just lit on fire and encouraged by the word of God. Man, where your heart burned in you, where it motivated you, where it drove you. And if you haven't, I would say evaluate your time in God's Word. If behold, I come in the volume of the book, they were walking with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the risen Savior. He speaks to them the Word of God, and their hearts burned within them. We have the Word of God. Behold, I come in the volume of the book. If you want that holy heartburn, as I've heard a preacher say before, you got to get in God's Word. Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like a fire? Hey, you want to be on fire for the Lord? Get in God's Word. And then the fourth and last application that I see in the resurrection is telling others about Jesus. This is absolute application here. This is what we are to be doing. The great resurrection calls for a great commission. The greatest miracle that ever took place, God raising himself from the dead. It demands a commission. It demands us to go out and deliver that message. It's interesting in that upper room right there, here in Mark 16:14, he says, after he appeared unto the 11 as he sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know what's going to change Brimley? It's God's word. You know what's going to make the UP greater? It's not another social program. It's not more money from the government. It's the gospel. Hey, you want to change the world? Hey, you want to see God do great things in your family? Hey, usher in the gospel. Live that self-denying life like Jesus lived. Go and share the gospel, starting with, man, your home. Going next door to your neighbor. And it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now understand, it's not saying, because it goes on to say, it says, he that believeth not shall be damned. It doesn't say he that believeth not baptized. Baptism is always, after believing, a demonstration of what you believe. Anybody who is truly saved is baptized. So if you haven't been saved, maybe you need to come talk to me and take that step, because that this is a solidifying factor in God's eyes, in Scripture. Today, as we leave here, me and you have a great commission to carry out. to tell the world of his resurrection. It's not a story to be told, to behold. It's a truth to be told. It's not a story to behold. Oh, isn't that, neat little picture of Jesus on the cross? No, it's not. It's not something that we behold once a year. Shame on us if the only time that we really think about it is on Easter. I got a question for you. Have you ever told anybody, and I want you to ask yourself this question. You don't have to answer, but have you ever told anybody about the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus? Have you? Because the resurrection calls us to do so. Because we should. We are called to, or we are commissioned to, and as Christians, we are commanded to share the good news with the world. As we think on this, heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, my wife's going to come to the piano and she's going to spend a few minutes here. She's going to play for us. As we think about what we heard today, I want to reflect back on the very first application of his resurrection. Is do you believe? Maybe you're here today and you have never called upon the name of the Lord. You can't look back in your life and see that there was a time where you called out to the Lord for your salvation. Right here and right now, I want to call upon you to call upon the Lord. If the Holy Spirit is nudging you, if you can identify within yourself that you have never called out to the Lord for your salvation, won't you call out to Him right now? Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Talk to Him. Lord, I believe that You died and You rose from the grave to save me from my sin. Lord, forgive me. Lord Jesus, give me the gift of eternal life. Remove the wages of sin. Lord Jesus, save me. If you've never called upon the Lord, hey, today, no greater day to get saved than on Resurrection Sunday. But maybe you're here and you know you're saved, but you've just been following a checklist, a religious checklist. You went into the tomb, you checked the box, you go home about your business. You come to church, you go home, you check the box, you live the rest of the week. There's no longing. There's no anticipation, no desire to really get a hold of the Lord. When's the last time you lingered long? Instead of just reading that one chapter, maybe you read two. Maybe instead of just praying for 5 minutes, you just stayed in quiet in the presence of the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you have no passion. You have no flame within you. The flame has gone out. Hey, today maybe it's time for you to get back to His Word. His resurrection is our victory. His resurrection is our confidence. His resurrection is our courage. We need to be a church that goes out from here today on Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and shares the world with Jesus on Monday. I don't know how God spoke to you, but as God spoke to you, pray that in. Ask the Lord to help you. And praise the Lord for His marvelous works that only He could do. You can't help Jesus. All you can do is believe in Him. You can't help Him save you. Nobody helped Him raise from the dead. Nobody helped Him conquer sin. He did it all by Himself. Believe in Him. Put your confidence in Him. As the worship team comes, let's pray. Father, I love You, and Lord, I'm grateful for today, and Lord, as we just looked at the the steps of that day, the resurrection day, the day that you rose from the grave, just retracing the steps, Lord. I pray that you, Father, would speak to us, that you would bring alive our cold, dead hearts, that you would revive us, Lord God, that you would save us, that you would give us a longing after you, the way that the psalmist longed for you as the deer that panteth for the water brook, the way that Mary longed for you, just not willing to just walk away and be done, but lingering long. Lord God, I pray that you do a work in our hearts. Lord, wash us clean. Lord, I ask and pray that you bless now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.